Good morning again, Lord. We just welcome you. We hope you welcome us to your class. You are so wonderful. You are so merciful. You are so good. I never cease to be amazed at how good you are. Yes. Lord, you take us to the woodshed and you just bluntly, frankly tell us what we've done wrong, how we've broken your heart, how far off course we can get, how selfish and proud we can be. And then you take us right into your love chambers and pour love on us and wonderful good things. You are so merciful, so good, so awesome. We know that Paul said that he labored that Christ might be formed in us. Lord, that's our desire, that Christ might be formed in us. The other day when Tana was speaking, Lord, and she said, wives minister to their husbands' hearts. And it was like, I just saw you. I saw you and all that you had done on that cross. And that your heart is that we would be one with you in heart so that you can reach the people you died for. You love them so much. But you have to reach them through us. And our hearts are just limiting you. So we ask this morning, Lord, that you would forgive us for all of our selfishness and pride and busyness and coldness and fear. And God, that you would just remove those spirits right now. Because we don't want them. We do only want Jesus living in us. And we just ask you that you would open the portals of heaven and pour down your manifest presence this morning. Thank you so much that you did give me what you have for us again this morning. Thank you. And we just invite your anointing as it's spoken, as it's received. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This is a good day. Well, we're going to go shopping today. I only know where we're going as I wrote it. I never even had time to look over it one time. So we're going to work through this together. It is in 132. You know you are God's priests. You are the priests of God. You're the ones that he ministers to other people through. You're the ones that come and minister to his heart. And in Psalm 132:9 it says, let your priests be clothed with righteousness. Let your saints shout for joy. I got so excited about where we're going, I forgot there's a way that we have to get there. So we're going to have to go back and see how to get there. First, there's some things that we're going to need to deal with. But God is going to take us shopping for some new clothes. We're going to get clothed in righteousness. And God is a tailor who will custom fit your clothing to you. So we're going to get to go to God's tailor shop in a little while. But first, God wants you to ask yourself a question. What do you think about you? What do you think about you? What did other people think about you in the past before you met the Lord? Did you ever ask yourself that? What did other people think about you? If we went up to other people that knew you and said, what do you think about Claudia? What would they say? What would they tell me about you? What would your mom and dad tell me about you? What did they tell you about you? What did your sisters and brothers and friends and enemies tell you, tell others about you? And what did you think about yourself? I want you to take just a minute and think about that. Write it down if you've got your notebook. It's really awesome if you've been walking with God because those things aren't the same anymore. I would have said, you keep writing and ignore me if you want. I would have said, people thought I was a quitter. They said I never finished anything I started. I was detached, aloof, cold, uninvolved, shy, a loner, non-emotional. I don't know if they would have said it, but selfish and stubborn, too busy. Some people would have said those things, and I would have agreed with them. That's how I saw myself. How do you see yourself now? And how do others see you now? Has anything changed? If you've been walking with God, some of those things should have changed. I would have said in the past that I was weak. I'd still say I'm weak. But in the past, others would have said I was weak. Others now think I'm strong. I'm not strong. I'm weaker than ever because I know how weak I am. And I depend on the Lord, fearfully depend on Him because I know I'm weak. But others see me as strong because I come back with His strength. What do people say about you now? What do you think of yourself now? I would still say that I'm too busy, often detached, uninvolved, selfish, and proud. I would still say those things. But I don't beat myself up as badly because I get to know where I'm going to be forgiven for all those things now. You need more time with that. Go ahead and take it. But where we end up, the only thing that's really true is what does God say about you? What does God say? Because what God says is what's true about you. That's where the truth is. I didn't like it when I came to that this morning because I'd been in the woodshed and God had already been telling me some things about me that I didn't want to hear. I already told this to a couple people because I was just so full of it when I came in. But I had been taking cake decorating classes for about 16 weeks every Tuesday night. I've learned a lot of things, and tonight is the last night, and I'm supposed to take and do my graduation cake. This is supposed to be the most awesome cake that I can possibly do now, based on everything that I have learned. So I've been telling myself, and the name of mine and Janiyah's cake little business is Cake Inspirations. We don't do cakes just for beauty and money. We want to do cakes that are inspired, that God has told us what to say to the person, just like the paintings. You want me to make a cake for you? Then I'm going to pray, and whatever God says is going to be on your cake. So, you know, if you don't like that, don't order a cake from me. So I'm saying this is all about God, inspired cakes. You know, that's what it's about. So I'm getting ready to make graduation cake. And I'm not trying to think of the best, most talented, beautiful cake, but I'm trying to think of an inspired cake. I want to take a cake that is going to witness to the teacher and to the students, and that God can say what He wants to say to them. So I spent last night trying to design that cake, trying to lay it out, trying to figure it out. I made a white cake, and I was designing stuff out of white. I went, why am I designing all in white? I mean, look at my pictures. How much white do you see? I like deep, dark, rich colors, you know? So this cake certainly doesn't reflect my type of art. And I'm just not able to find what God wants it to be that will really speak to them. So I go to bed and I have a dream. I won't tell you the whole dream. But the basis of the dream was all my focus being on a cake, that I wanted God to speak to people through this cake. But while I'm so focused on it, I'm ignoring all the people. People are crying. People are needing. But I don't have time to deal with them because I got to get this anointed cake done. So I'm missing relationship. I'm missing real people because I want the cake to speak to people. So God took me back in Jeremiah. I didn't plan on sharing all that, but God took me back in Jeremiah about craftsmen and idols, how they cut down wood and they carved it and they adorned it, and how the metalsmiths made things out of metal, and how that these were idols and that the metalsmith was confused by his own work. And what God was saying was he got so carried away in the creative thing that he made that it became like an idol to him. He wanted people to see his talent, the beauty of the thing. He wanted that thing to speak to people. But God said, it doesn't have any breath. It has no breath. Well, by the time God was done, I wasn't going to paint again, do a cake again, ever write again. I wasn't going to do anything because paper doesn't have breath and paint doesn't have breath and cakes don't have breath. And I was just totally rebuked. I'm going to deal with people, relationship, reality, where you can breathe on them and God can breathe through you. I'm not going to do any more of that stuff. So I'm just all beat up and discouraged because I'm going, man, this is just who I've been since I was old enough to pick up a pencil, write, paint. That's been how I express myself, you know, my whole life. And I guess I was wrong. So when God took me through what I just took you through, and I said, okay, I already kind of know what you got to say about me, God. I've been bad, you know. And this is what God said. You're mine. I am so glad you're mine. Because I love you. Oh, how much I love you. And I'm not going to go on with it, but he just poured love on me. And every time I thought, oh, that was really good, he said, I'm not finished. And he went on some more pouring love on me. And then he said, you are going to bake a cake, and you are going to paint, but you need me to breathe on it. You need me to breathe on it. It's got to be what I'm doing. It can't be what you're doing if you want me to breathe on it. So you are going to make a cake for graduation tonight. You're going to make a cake for that teacher that you have not loved or ministered me to. You're going to make a cake of appreciation. There's not going to be any talent. There's not going to be any show off what you've learned. It's going to be a very simple white cake with teeny colored polka dots all over it. And every little dot represents someone she has taught. And then you tell her that you have prayed for her, and this is what I say to her. God has seen you. You do not teach for the money. You do not, I forgot all the words. I wrote her the letter. But you care for the people. You love them. You have sacrificed, and I have seen every minute that you've sacrificed. I've seen everything that you've sacrificed. And I know your heart. I know how you've put yourself into these people, and I appreciate you. And the little dots just represent all the people that she has taught. So God has a message for her that has nothing to do with my creative skill at all. He's going to speak through tiny polka dots tonight. And I get to go ahead and make cakes when he says so, his way. So that was something I got from God today. But as he kept going, he took me. I got to find exactly where this started because I want to start at the right place for you. We're going to go where you were, first of all, and read that again about being clothed in righteousness. Psalm 132:9. Here it goes, where God started speaking to you. Are you ready? Hear this, O my people. Hear what I say to you and about you. Why do you run in circles? Why do you go about to do your own way? Do you not know that I am standing right here beside you? Fall into my arms and let me love you. I'm not angry with you. I'm not disappointed in you. I simply want to transform you into who you really are and into who you want to be. Stop trying so hard to be something that others want you to be. My ways are peaceful. My plan for you fits so perfectly. Wear your own anointing. Wear your own skin. Take off those fleshly costumes and let me dress you. I know your measurements, and I create your garments. They're comfortable clothing for you. You may think you don't like the outfit I chose for you, but once you try it on, you will never want to wear anything else. Only this will fit you perfectly. Why are you struggling? Why do you look around and try to dress as others do? Leave them all and come to your own tailor. Be fitted privately. Today, I invite you to my parlor. Stand upon the platform. Look into the three-way mirror as I adorn you. Have you ever seen a bridal shop? Some of you men might have never been there, but they have a platform where you're standing up high because some of those dresses flow down, and there's mirrors all around you so that when you look, you can see it from the front, from the side, from the back. You can see how it fits and looks from every angle, and that's the picture of where God wants to take you to be clothed. Come into the mirror and let me show you how your own skin should fit you. Let's look at who you really are and what you are created to do. We will need to remove some things that you arrived in. There'll be some undressing first. You may not like some of the things that you see in those mirrors when you realize how badly they've been fitting you and how terrible they look on you. You know, like pride and selfishness and those things. They really, when we get that three-way mirror and see ourselves as others do, You go, wow, that is ugly. I don't want to wear that again. But we will remove them and we will toss them into the garbage cans and the janitor will take them away and my angels will bring in new garments for you. There's some undergarments that we put on before you get your outer clothing. Underneath, on your chest, you need to be clothed with humility. Down in your loins, deep down in your belly, you need to be wearing some compassion. You need a heart patch. It's soft and pink and fuzzy, full of the love of God and the hidden intimacy you share with Him. You're all going to wear lipstick. It doesn't show, guys, don't worry about it, but it's placed by the kisses of Jesus. You can wear a whisper and carry His breath. I'm going to put a twinkle in your eyes. Two angels will arrive, one for each eye, to put a twinkle in your eyes of the joy of God. I'm going to put a shh in your breath for patience. I'm going to give you two hearing aids. One is for your left ear to hear me better, and the other is for your right ear to listen to others more. You're going to have some invisible gloves. They're made out of white. They're like clouds that surround your fingers. They protect you, but they also let you touch others with my presence. Then we're going to wash your hair. Full of beautiful bubbles and heavenly fragrances that you can carry. I'll blow it dry with the wind of my breath. Then we'll work on your outer garments. I'm going to give you a teeth whitening treatment so that you can wear a smile that will bless others. It'll be an anointed smile that says to others, I accept you. Diamond earrings to represent the multifaceted God who is present with you. For me, this is for me, I'm going to wear a Lucy dress because it's part of your mother anointing. You know those old I Love Lucy dresses, I always talk about them. It makes me see an old-fashioned mom. I get a Lucy dress with giant pockets stuffed full of everything that any child might need because moms always carry their pockets and purses full of Band-Aids and safety pins and every little thing that a child might need because all those things come up. When I had my little kids at home, I carried a big old purse. I won all the games at baby showers for, do you have this in your purse? One time they said, spoon. I pulled out a spoon. They said, you've got to be kidding. You have a spoon in your purse? Yeah, the baby might get hungry. Oh, you know, I didn't have a spoon. Everything was in that purse. Your feet will be bare. Now, God was talking to me, but He said to say all this to you. So your clothing, much of it will be different than this. Pink toenails. You guys are not going to get pink toenails. I'm sure of it. I'm not going to read the rest because a lot of the rest was personal. And I don't think your experience is going to be exactly the same. And there was other things that God gave me that were personal for me. And I'm not going to go through those. But the point is God wants to take you today. I shared a little bit of how He took me there just so you could see what it was like, that you'd want to go there with Him. But that's the vision I want to create in your mind today. And again in Psalm 132, 9, let your priests be clothed with righteousness. Let your saints shout for joy. When you wear the anointing of who you really are, what you're supposed to do, it's His righteousness upon you. And you love it. It's comfortable. It fits. You cannot go mall shopping and look at all the other people and dress like them. Your own skin has to fit you. We're going to worship too. There was one other one here. There was another verse in Isaiah. Paula pulled up just as I was about to mark this, and I'm like 21 chapters off. I think it says Isaiah 61. I got so excited to see Paula, I marked the wrong place. Something about being clothed again. I see in verse 3, okay, in verse 3 it says, appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, give to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. But I want you to picture yourself. Just close your eyes and picture yourself arriving at that tailor shop and stepping up on that platform and telling God, I will look in the three-way mirror while you undress me so that you can dress me. And just let God take you there today. We thank you, Lord. We depend on you. This is spirit work. We can't imagine it. You have to do it. So we invite you to do it, and we let you do it. Thank you, Jesus.